Start again.
Good evening again. Good evening again. I would like to welcome everyone to the meeting today. Can everyone hear me clearly? Members of the public should remain seated throughout the meeting and should not speak. Everyone should ensure their mobile cell phones are either turned off or switched to silent. The use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio recorded except where the council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. I would remind councillors of their obligations under the Councillors' Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the meeting today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the table for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. So, item one is apologies.
Chair, Josephine Kelly is an apology.
Councillors Gibbons and Murphy, Selina Murphy.
Thank you. I just have a few chairperson's remarks. I've had the pleasure of being at Wake the Giant and Eats and Beats Festival over the past few weeks. I'd like to congratulate everyone involved with these events for the excellent work that they've done in bringing them once again to the district. Both attracted a large footfall to the area, and it was great to see the crowds of people out and about again, once again, after COVID. Can I congratulate all the local community groups and Irish summer schools on all the wonderful summer schemes and family fun days they've had over the summer months. These are hugely beneficial to our communities, especially at the present time due to the cost of living crisis, and mean an awful lot to our residents. I'll just read one wee passage that we received in thanks from a wee football team. The council's funded summer schemes are very beneficial. The funding ensured that we were able to offer 156 kids 20 hours of footballing activities. Of the 156 children attending, a number were refugees. Some were signposted by social services, and around 15% had ADHD or autism. We've received a number of emails thanking us, but one really stands out. From a mother who had just purchased school uniforms for her three children and couldn't afford to do anything with them for the last week of summer. She could not believe that anyone would offer this free scheme. And I explained to her that we were able to do it through council support. It just proves one thing, and it goes to show that our rates don't only empty our bins, which I thought was very poignant. I'd just like to condemn the cowardly act carried out by a criminal gang in the Slieve Gullion area this morning. I'd like to send best wishes on speedy recovery to the victim. There's been a lot in the press and social media over the past number of weeks on the Newry City Park. And I would just like to ask the Chief Executive if she could give us an update on what is happening, please.
Yeah, Chair, thank you. And members will appreciate that I have just returned from a period of absence due to two very close family member bereavements. So I did receive correspondence from Councillor Finn and Councillor Savage on Friday in relation to this matter as well. And I'm conscious of the notice of motion raised by the Alliance Party in relation to it also. I have been doing some work with officers in regards to this matter, and it's my intention, I'd hope to have all of the detail gathered before this evening, but I haven't, and it's my intention just to communicate with all councillors tomorrow, so that you have the information prior to the closing date as to the position of council in relation to this matter. So hopefully that will be beneficial to all members tomorrow, and hopefully will answer the correspondence issued by Councillor Finn and Councillor Savage, and indeed the notice of motion. I would also say it is a matter of council, and it is a matter of a notice of motion being deferred to committee, and that will continue, that will progress through to the FPNR committee next week. Okay.
Thank you. Item two, declarations of interest. Oh, sorry, comments. Councillor Devlin.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I was hoping to say a few words on the back of the success of Eats and Beats, and thank you very much for those comments that you made there. I know I missed you at the festival itself, but it really was just a phenomenal weekend. I think it really was like the best of music and all the food and the backdrop of the Southern Warren Mountains. I think we were very lucky with the weather. It was amazing from the festival opened until it closed. Both days, I think, with my young ones, and then thankfully without them for a few hours too, which is good. But it was just amazing to see the variety of ages, the young and the not so young, and really enjoying all Newcastle has to offer. And I really do think it was our council at its best. The Kids Zone was a great addition, as were the lovely volunteers who were engaging with the public, particularly in the queue. I did just want to thank the cleansing team. I mean, Donard Park was pristine, even with the thousands of people that were there throughout both days. So a big thanks to them. I think it's just a special thanks to, you know, people from the outside might think we've got a massive events team in this council. I think we've got two or three people. I think, you know, Owen and Lynn there, they really did a superb job. Rob from Shindig Events, Paul from the Mourner Larder, and all of the acts and vendors that really did make this festival an absolute success. I suppose just, Chair, it's weekends like that that it really is a particular privilege to represent the Mourn. So just a massive thanks to everybody that's been involved in that.
Thank you, Laura. Councillor Truesdale.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I'd just like to echo Councillor Devlin's sentiments there. It was a great weekend. The weather was fantastic, thank goodness. The atmosphere was brilliant. It was great to see so many local residents come together in one place. I'd like to pay tribute to the refuse teams, not just in Donard Park, but I was out in the town about 8 o'clock, had to go to a party council. And the maintenance guys, the road sweepers, the mechanical sweepers, the street litter pickers, the whole town was absolutely spotless. So it really did showcase the whole town. But I'd just like to ask, will there be an opportunity to feed into follow-up discussions for evaluation and feedback with other Mourne DEA councillors and events management to discuss issues that have been passed on to me?
Sure, we do tend to do a review of events once we get past the events. So, yeah, that will happen at a point in the future.
Thank you.
Councillor Clark.
Yeah, Chair, thanks very much for letting me in. No, I agree with the previous two councillors' comments. I think it was a fabulous festival, so a big well done to everybody who was involved. It was a great opportunity to showcase local talent. It was a festival. Also, obviously, the Eats component of it allowed us to showcase, you know, what we have to offer in regards to local food and cuisine. In regards to, you know, moving forward, I agree, we look at reviews. It's very hard to make it better than it was. But we hope in future years we continue to grow it and Eats and Beats becomes, you know, an indicator from people from further afield to come and join into the festival as well. And it'll just continue to grow, in my opinion. So thanks very much.
Councillor Riley.
Yes, Madam Chair. I would agree with the other councillors. It was an excellent event. And I had family members at it from right down to grandchildren level. And they all enjoyed it, Chairman. And it's a sign of the success that there was such big queues. And, you know, some people can complain about that, but I think it's a sign of success and that it has the potential to become a massive event, really massive event in years to come. And, Chairman, maybe you know, some small issues that we need to resolve, like the muddy patch at the entrance where a wheelchair or a buggy couldn't, you know, find it difficult. We simple things like that, that we can sort out in the years to come, but certainly it's a massive potential there.
Henry. Item 3, action sheet arising from the council meeting held on the 7th of August. Could we have a proposer and seconder, please? Could we have a proposer and seconder for the action sheet, please? Councillor Hanlon, propose and second. Councillor Devon?
Yeah.
Any matters arising? Item 4, minutes of the council meeting held on the 7th of August 2023. Could we have a proposer and seconder, please? I need a proposer and seconder first.
Councillor Bowsey.
Councillor Bowsey.
Councillor Kearns.
Yeah. Councillor Savage, do you have a question?
Yes, Chair, relates to page 10, C156 2023, and sort of follows on from the Chief Executive's opening remarks in relation to Peace Plus funding and Newry City Park. And firstly, I would like to welcome Marie's comments to clarify the Council's position in relation to making an application of Peace Fund for Newry City Park. There has been a lot of confusion out there, and I think it's very important that that clarification comes, but I think it's equally important that that clarity in writing states what criteria we do not meet in relation to this, and I think that's very important that we get that, because it deals with the confusion that's out there that a council-administered fund cannot meet the criteria, yet we're committing over $2.3 million to phase one, so its clarity is crucial on this. And you know, this is down to the fact that I believe that, you know, we're bringing a response to this basically the day before a fund closes, and that's why in item 19 tonight I had proposed that we set up a committee that looked at funding sources, and I'm disappointed that it's going to go to SPNR, but if it is, that's where the work will be done, because SWG doesn't appear to be having a grasp or a grapple on that element of spend, so I think it's very important that we, with all the community and capital projects that are going to rebuild our district over the next decade, that we have some degree of scrutiny and update and transparency on what's going on in relation to funding applications. Because I do know that there are a lot of staff work very hard and diligently in trying to get applications in, and that sort of window of opportunity that's there to shine a light on that work, I think, would be most welcome. So, Chair, if the clarity can be that the specific clarity that comes from the Chief Executive relates to the Peace Fund, Peace Plus Fund, and what criteria we don't meet, because I think it would help to allay the fears around the community and avoid any further confusion. Thanks, Chair.
Chair, that the correspondence I issue will address that matter. So,
thanks, Marie.
Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. In relation to the motion I'd entered just a while back on the reduction in the minimum voting age, I know at our last meeting we proposed that the council write to all the political parties, and I'm just wondering, has there been any response back so far in relation to the reduction in the minimum voting age, and also to thank the other councils in Northern Ireland who have supported our motion? Thank you.
Chair, I think Councillor was asking if there had been a response to the correspondence there, yeah? Yeah, Chair, can I just check that and I will come back to you on that matter, is that okay?
Let's see. Item 5, minutes of the Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism Committee meeting held on the 14th of August 2023. Could I have a proposer and seconder, please? Opposed by Councillor Campbell. And seconded by Councillor Galbraith. Any matters arising? Item 6, minutes of the Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee meeting held on the 17th of August 2023. Could I have a proposer and seconder, please?
Proposed, Chair.
Proposed by Councillor McAteer, seconded by Councillor Hanlon. Any matters arising? Item 7, the minutes of the Active and Healthy Communities Committee meeting held on the 21st of August 2023. Could I have a proposer and seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor Galbraith. Seconded by Councillor Devlin. Any matters arising? Sorry, Councillor Howell seconded. Councillor Riley, you have a comment?
Yes, Madam Chair. It was just on the Newry swimming pool. And this is so frustrating, both for myself and Councillor Hannah, who live in Kilkeel, and the amount of abuse that we are getting about the unreliability of the opening hours of Kilkeel swimming pool. And we were advised last year that there would be staff moved down from Newry once all the new agreements were in place and all the pay scales were equalised and everything. But they're still continually shutting down Kilkeel swimming pool on a whim. And you can't book it, or you have to still have to go through the booking app for it. And it is causing such frustration. And it's the councillors, because we're taking the assurances that senior staff give us, we're taking their word on that these issues are resolved. And then we're getting a load of abuse whenever we're telling people that the leisure centre is the issues have been resolved and will soon you'll not even have to use the app. It's going so well. And now constant phone calls from youth groups or whatever saying that Kilkeel swimming pool's closed willy-nilly. And it's just so frustrating, Chairman. And I would like some assurance from senior management that they are working to resolve this issue as soon as humanly possible. Thank you.
Chair, I'll pick that up with the Assistant Director and come back to the Councillor.
Councillor Hannah?
Basically, I'm the same as Henry there. The frustration in Kilkeel with the swimming pool, especially the swimming pool, but the leisure centre as a whole, it's closed so regularly now. It's unbelievable, and it's all staffing that is. I know there's a lot of staff has went back to university, you know, the part-time staff with the summertime, but we should be in a far, far better place. Even today, it's got to be, I'm going to have the word glasses come down, Kilkeel, and everybody I not know me. But it's just got to the stage where something really does need done, Marie. It really is. It's beyond a joke, that is. It really does need something done urgently.
Chair, I'll ask the paper be tabled at AHC in relation to the matter.
Item 8, the minutes of the Sustainability and Environment Committee meeting held on the 22nd of August 23. Could I have a proposer and seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor McGuinness, seconded by Councillor Andrews. Any matters arising? No. Item 9 is the planning section.
No issues.
Well, there's any issues?
No, there's no.
No, right. Item 10 is the response from the Department of Education, read the motion. Notice of motion C133-2023, the study of languages. Any comments?
There's comments.
We're on item 10, Henry. O'Hara. Councillor O'Hara, you have a comment?
Yes, thank you. I note with disappointment the response received from the Permanent Secretary for Education, Dr. Mark Brown, in relation to my motion on the study of languages. It is known in education systems worldwide that the study of languages should begin at primary level. The fact that the study of languages is not compulsory at primary level is a matter of policy, and the implications of that policy are not in doubt. Tory austerity means that school budgets are already overstretched and no funding is provided for the delivery of languages. This policy means our students have less access to languages. Dr. Brown states that languages are compulsory at Key Stage 3. The reality is that the amount of time allocated at Key Stage 3 for the study of languages is not stipulated in the curriculum. And this means that languages might be offered, for example, for only 1 year and not all three. This policy decision has reduced the uptake of languages. At GCSE level, the study of languages is no longer compulsory. This policy has reduced the uptake of languages, which is hardly surprising when students have not been given access to languages in primary school and only limited access at Key Stage 3. Dr. Brown states that languages have been identified as a priority for further development. This is a strange statement considering that it is a range of educational policies and removal of policy that has directly led to a reduction of the study of languages. Dr. Brown is aware of the social, economic and cognitive benefits associated with the study of languages, yet education policy has been actively removing languages from our curriculum. In the absence of a functioning executive, we in Council have a responsibility to bring attention to education policy that contradicts acquired wisdom and common sense. Thank you.
Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And just concur with Councillor O'Hare's comments when this motion was brought. I fully agreed with her. I suppose the latter is very, very disappointing. It just goes as far as outlining all the issues of why there is a downturn in the amount of people taking up languages. Councillor O'Hare is completely right. I mean, primary schools, that's where we should be getting people to fall in love with languages. We've got other countries right across Europe that kids are growing up bilingual, and we are falling far behind on that. The fact that it's not compulsory for GCSE also shows that that leads to a downturn. So it's all well and good writing back to the council and outlining the issues. The last paragraph is especially disappointing, and I think we should write back to them and ask them what actions they are taking, because the outline that they are working through various fora with partners to improve provision and the uptake of modern languages. And I don't think it's too much for us to write back and ask how, what steps are you taking, what are you looking into to improve provision? Is that, you know, going back on GCSEs being compulsory? Is it trying to get more languages into primary schools? They're obviously going to come back with some resource implications and stuff like that, but I think we have a right to find out what they're exploring to improve provision. Otherwise, the good intention from this motion will just fall to the wayside. So if Councillor O'Hare would support that, I think we should write back and ask for that.
Yes, happy to support that.
Yes. Councillor Hanlon, you're next. Councillor Riley, which one are you in for?
Education, there. Yeah, Chairman, I would compliment Councillor O'Hare. It was a very eloquent response to the letter and says it all. But, Chairman, the emphasis on without a functional assembly. I was at Kilkeel High School today, and I just could not believe the decrepit state that that school has been allowed to get into. And that happened over the years when we had a functional assembly. And it was down not to councillors or MLAs or MPs, it's down to the staff, the senior staff in the Department of Education, who just seem to want to do their own wee thing and they don't care about the needs of people on the ground. And I don't want to blow up my own MLA, Diane Forsyth, but it was only whenever Diane was first elected last year that she actually brought some of these people down. And they were standing in disbelief at the state of Kilkeen High School and how it was allowed to, but yet they were still adamant that they were doing their job. They're not doing their job, Madam Chair. They need real rocket. And if the Assembly hasn't done it over all these years, I don't know how we're going to get these people to react to the needs of communities. But certainly, Councillor O'Hare was very eloquent in her response, and I agree absolutely. Languages are an essential component for education, and especially in the future, Far Eastern languages like Mandarin and Indonesian and all those sort of languages that where the economy is going to be based. But thanks, Madam Chair. But I just wanted to make that note about the really decrepit state of a high school with 750 pupils. You have to, Madam Chair, I would love to invite you down with the headmaster of the school and Diane and myself just to show you how bad it is.
Thanks for Lisa Ardener.
Thank you, Chair. I absolutely agree with the points made by Councillor Byrne and O'Hare. I myself speak multiple languages, not just English. Learned Chinese when I was 6, English or French in P5. I can do conversational German, very basic Spanish, very basic Irish. You know, and I love languages, but that requires element of being given the opportunity to when you are pre-teens or in primary school. So I absolutely agree with Councillor Byrne that we need to basically not take this lying down, but basically to challenge the Department of Education here. Thank you.
Thank you. Items 10, 11, 12 are for noting. Could I have a proposer and seconder for them, please? Oh, sorry.
I know it is for noting, but I think it would be remiss not to bring up the fact that the whole reason for this motion with myself and Councillor Byrne was around the impact it's having on mushroom farmers here in the north. And this letter back doesn't actually address that because the visas need to be up to 2 years to allow for staff to be brought over or workers to be brought over and trained up. And then, you know, the actual period of time it takes to grow mushrooms. So I would propose that we write back and just make that point I think Steve Baker would be the right person to write to. He's the Under Secretary of State who would be responsible for this. So hopefully Councillor Byrne will back that proposal.
Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, happy to second that proposal. I suppose when we wrote to them, it was a distinct ask to be put on the shortage occupational list because of, you know, what Councillor Hannan stated, the 6 months. It's not the seasonal visa that's the issue. So we get a page response back talking about seasonal visas and there's 45,000 of them and they give an extra 10,000. That doesn't sort the issue. The fact is we're training people up for 4 months and they're going over the border to work in the industry, the horticulture industry in the south. So the last paragraph was disappointing because I know, Glenn, you raised to put on the fishing and they come back and says that fishing has been added to the shortage occupation list. That was what we asked, so that has to be addressed. That's the only way you can relax visa requirements, the only way that you can address the issue of the 6 months. Otherwise, we've got a competitive disadvantage. It's all right for them to bury their head over in England and state that it's not an issue for them. We bother an EU, the Republic of Ireland, which operates under the EU rules in terms of visas. They've arrested the world visa up to 5 years. So, you know, we're cutting off our nose to spite our face and we're pushing very good businesses. 10% of UK mushroom industry in Northern Ireland, we're pushing it to the brink of collapse. So I second Councillor Hannan's proposal and we write back and we distinctly ask for it to be put onto the shortage occupation list because of the issues around the 6 month visas and get a reply on that basis.
Thank you, Councillor Byrne. Councillor McAvoy.
Hi, I think Councillor Devlin's in before me there. If you want, I'm not 100% sure.
Thank you, Leanne. That's very kind of you. Chair, my items in relation to the response about my notice of motion from last month from the Department of Health regarding young carers. I think the letter back from the Permanent Secretary just confirms exactly what I already suspected, the continuing shift of state responsibility to the charitable sector. The Department funds in part Action for Children and Barnardos, but then expects these groups to plug the hole and fund the shortfall. We've seen it across the board with welfare reform and then the spike in the demand for food banks. It really is just another example of government sidestepping their responsibility. So I suppose, as we know, Chair, from my motion, the census indicated that there are 8,000 young carers in Northern Ireland. So 8,000 young people not entitled to carers allowance solely due to their age. So they ticked the box for everything else, but ruled out due to being too young. So we think of the savings of the public purse that they're making here and the young lives that are being so unfairly affected. So I was hoping as a council that we can write back and ask for the exact amount the department does fund young carers. The letter mentions, I think, 301 something thousand, but no total figure is actually provided. And I still believe that this group of young people are falling between the cracks, and only for charities like Action for Children and Barnardos, they are actually unknowns in some areas. And just really one final note, I know that Action for Children was mentioned in the Permanent Secretary's reply. Friday week ago, my husband did a charity sleepout for Action for Children, which involved abseiling off Fairhead Cliff outside of Ballycastle, I think an area that Councillor McMurray knows pretty well, pitching a tent or a cot, as they called it, into the cliff face and sleeping for the night, all on the aid of Action for Children. He was accompanied that night by was really well looked after by an outdoor recreation expert in Paul Kelleher. So if anybody remembers Friday week ago, it was really, really, really windy. I remember being in a hotel in Portrush thinking, goodness, he's on the side of a cliff. But all to raise funds and support for Action for Children for all of the good reasons that I mentioned last month as well. So, Chair, just because it was mentioned in the letter, I thought a shameless plug. If anybody wants to donate any money, it's on my social media page, or I can send out the link to anybody if they want to, because it is just a really, really good charity that does amazing work. But I do still want the letter back to the Department of Health to query just that figure, because I do feel that it's this constant shift that the charitable and the voluntary sector pick up the slack and government just, you know, walks away, and it's not fair. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor McAvoy.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, no, really just concur with what Laura has said with regard to that. Yes, it's a detailed letter, but again, it's the voluntary sector picking up on what is required. So yeah, I would agree with Laura that we write back and for the funding and what exactly the government funding this, and that our young carers in our communities need more support and need to be valued and recognised. So thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McAvoy. Could we now have a proposer and seconder for items 10, 11 and 12, please? Proposed by Councillor Devlin, seconded by Councillor Finn. We have an emergency notice of motion tonight, which we will bring at the end of the motions that are in front of us at the moment. So item 13 is a notice of motion on Ballinahinch bypass. It's received from Councillor Andrews. It will be heard here tonight. So if Councillor Andrews could read his motion and let us know who's seconded, please.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'll just indicate that Councillor Jim Brennan will be seconding the motion. The motion that has been tabled is that, noting that the former Minister for Infrastructure, Nicola Mallon, had progressed the Ballinahinch Bypass project to the direction order that was made in April 21, with only funding and a contractor now required, expressing deep concern that due to lack of an executive and budget, the department has paused preliminary works on a number of major road schemes, including the much-needed Ballinahinch bypass, and expressing our solidarity with the local ratepayers and residents for decades over stop-start politics that have had a major impact on projects such as this bypass. Newry Morning Down District Council reaffirms our total support for the Ballinahinch bypass, also agreeing to write to the Department for Infrastructure, determine firstly why the Ballinahinch bypass has been halted when it is so advanced, and secondly, we would like to know what is the criteria for road schemes that will need prioritised, and also acknowledging the need for political reform to restore the Northern Ireland Assembly and Executive.
and calls on the DUP to end its policy of abstentionism and return to Stormont to deliver the best outcomes for all the people of Northern Ireland. So that's the motion right under the records, Madam Chairperson. So as I say, in my remarks, as I said, Jim Brennan will be seconding the motion, along with many others over the years in this chamber and in other fora have spoken about the above topic, the Ballinahouse bypass that has been in the pipeline and on the drawing board since its inception and when the late Brian Faulkner MP was Minister of Development and Down County Council were responsible for roads and infrastructure back in the 60s. Meeting with all senior departmental figures along with other political representatives with this scheme very much on the agenda. Elsewhere in Northern Ireland, we have seen new roads being opened, existing roads being dualled and improved vastly, and especially the Dungiven Bypass and others that have opened recently and before that. The SALP and other parties have and are still are totally committed to the A5 upgrade and other schemes and will endeavour to get from planning to full implementation and delivery. Close to home, Ballinahouse is crying out for the bypass as the existing infrastructure that is in place simply can't cope with the ever-increasing traffic that trundles through the town on a daily basis with tailbacks that have an impact on the town. I feel strongly that it's time and long overdue that our part of the district should be getting a piece of the cake. Quite a few years ago, Cumber got a bypass and there was reservations about the impact that this would have on the town. The bypass came and as a result of this, a lot of vehicular traffic went on about their business and those who wanted to visit and stay were able to do so. A lot of parking spaces, etc., brought people into the town and Ballinahouse could benefit vastly from this bypass. And while the first legislative process is in place, this project is good and ready to go and calls upon the department to make this happen. In addition to the department, we need a minister in place to sign off and get the project from the drawing board and filing cabinets to be actually delivered on site. A lot of constituents have voiced their concerns to me about the Assembly and much needed work to be done right across the spectrum and feels so strongly that no party whatsoever should have the ability to put a halt or a veto to the governance of the country and delivery of much needed services for the people. And this needs changed. In moving this motion, I strongly urge the Chamber to back the call for the Ballinahouse bypass to be progressed to delivery for the benefit of the town and surrounding areas that constitute a gateway to the Mourns. So I move the motion, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Brennan.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you, Chair. As a party, we recognise the urgent need for the Ballinahouse bypass. And disregarding Terry's motion, I just had a couple of questions regarding the motion. And Terry, it was just to ask, what do you mean exactly by the stop-start politics that's mentioned within the motion? And secondly, if you could just clarify what you meant by reforming the institutions, just to get that clarified, please. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Jim. As I say, from the 1960s, whenever that bypass was first mooted, there have been periods over the years that has been stopped. It's been going. It's been over the years that the bypass has been. It's been very much an agenda item somewhere, and that's what I mean by stop go. Is the fact is that it was going, and then it was stopped, and then it was going, and then it was stopped. It's just like a pendulum back and forth, and it's more or less out of frustration that I feel that we should be moving the project forward, and that's what the motion is about. And also, what was the other point you raised, Jim? Well, I think realistically, what people are saying to me is that nobody should be able to hold. No, the institutions should not be. No, because a party may say, no, we're not going to operate the Assembly. That's what I mean. We need to look at a way of getting the Assembly working. Working for the benefit of everybody. So that's what I mean. So,
Chair, more than happy to second the motion. The recent announcement from the Department for Infrastructure, which put the Ballinahouse bypass under threat, is a hammer blow to communities here, to campaigners, and to general ratepayers. This was yet another stark reminder, if we needed one, of the impact that cruel Tory cuts are having on our infrastructure and our public services. The continued boycott of the DUP only facilitates this. The long-standing campaign and the collective efforts to get the Ballynahinch bypass to this shovel-ready position must not be squandered. Elected representatives must work together and send a collective message from Newry Monaghan down District Council that any more dithering and delay on this vital project is unacceptable. This is just the latest example of why it's absolutely crucial that we get an executive up and running immediately with local elected ministers in place to ensure these strategically important projects are delivered as soon as possible. No more delays. We're speaking about eats and beats in Newcastle. On Sunday, my grandson was visiting and I took him to the Lagan Valley Leisure Complex. What a brilliant facility. The good weather, as usual, attracts visitors to Newcastle and the surrounding areas. It took me 55 minutes to drive from one end of Ballynahinch to the other. Ballynahinch had traffic queued beyond Carlisle's garage out to the Sainfield Road junction to get into Ballynahinch. At the other end of the town, the traffic was queued beyond the Millbrook Hotel again in the direction of Ballynahinch. There's a rebranding tourism programme underway just now, and this congestion does not send out a Cead Míle Fáilte to visitors. Sinead, Míle Buíochas can call you.
Councillor Jackson.
Sorry. It's not working, Chair. There you go.
Thank you, Chair. Just on behalf of the DUP group here, We're totally disgusted that once again the Ballynahinch bypass has been put well and truly to the bottom of the pile of infrastructure priorities and won't be progressed at any level moving forward. Now, the people of Ballynahinch have been waiting on this key infrastructure project quite literally for generations. Ballynahinch is in gridlock with traffic bumper to bumper day in and day out. The long-awaited bypass would prove to be a real lifeline not only for local people in the area, but also for visitors, increasing accessibility through to the Mourns and beyond, boosting tourism potential and the local economy. The lack of strategic vision for this project within the department has been evident for decades, and it's so disappointing we seem to be as far away from a bypass for Ballynahinch as ever before. Our party has written to the Permanent Secretary of Department for Infrastructure, seeking an urgent meeting to discuss this matter. We certainly will not be giving up on this matter, as the people of Ballynahinch deserve so much more.
Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Taylor.
Chair, thanks very much. This is very clear there was a lot of disappointment with the recent announcement that was made by the Department of Infrastructure regarding various projects across Northern Ireland, and obviously the Ballynahinch bypass project was one of those that failed to meet the criteria, whatever the criteria may be from a department point of view, and that's a great disappointment to everybody, because I know certainly when my colleague Robert Burgess was on council, he was a strong supporter of this project, and certainly as a party we recognise the strategic importance, both economic and environmental, of this this scheme and the need for it to take place as a matter of urgency. In fact, in an ideal world, it should have been in place by now. But there's been various issues that have prevented that from happening. But certainly as a project, we are very supportive of it as a party and recognise the need for it to be brought forward as a matter of urgency. So there is that obvious disappointment from the announcement that took place in recent weeks on this. And we as a council need to send a message to the department about the fact that we recognise how important this is for the local area, and the department need to review their decision in this regard. Just in terms of the motion itself, I have to say the basis in terms of the Ballynahinch bypass part of it, fully supportive of that. The one issue that we have concern about is a call for political reform. Listen, I've made our party's very clear about our position about going back into an assembly. We believe there's so many issues building up in various portfolios that there is a need for the Assembly to be back. But the issue of political reform, and Terry, listen, your party was one of the main parties along with myself in drawing up the delicate balance of the Good Friday Agreement, and whilst it was far from perfect, there was reasons for a lot of those rules that were in place at that time. And the call for the wholesale political reform of those institutions is quite a dangerous path to go down, I have to be honest with you. I would be concerned about that at this stage. So I'm just disappointed that, and because of that, I'm going to abstain on that, purely because of that part, not because of the Ballinahinch bypass, which we're fully behind that, but to bring in the issue of political reform into a motion like this, I think it would have been important to send a clear message for everybody could look it back at. The DUP will obviously speak for themselves in terms of other aspects of it, but from my point of view, calling for wholesale political reform of institutions, it's something that we, you know, would say it was a delicate balance, the Good Friday Agreement, whenever it was negotiated. So I think to do that, to bring that into this motion, it's, I don't think it was needed at this stage. Terry asked my own opinion on it. But as a matter in terms of the Ballinahinch bypass project, that concept of this motion, fully behind that, Terry. Okay. Thank you.
Councillor Lee Surgener.
Thank you, Chair. The Alliance Group wholeheartedly support Councillor Andrews' motion tonight. This bypass was given the green light by Nicola Mallon with her direction order, and now it's been dropped to phase four. I am disappointed that the bypass isn't going ahead. It will resolve the traffic congestion in the town centre, as well as the surrounding residential areas that have become the unofficial bypass routes. It would improve the health of the children of St. Patrick's Primary School and the students of Assumptions. Permanent Secretary, at the end of the day, shouldn't have to make this decision. And I echo, we need political reform for the restitution of the executive as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Bowsey.
Thanks, Chair. Firstly, I want to echo Councillor Jackson and express in our disappointment that the Ballinahinch bypass has been paused. However, the announcement is a bit of a red herring because procurement for the bypass stalled when we had an infrastructure minister, so I think it's important that we remind ourselves what the sequence of events to date are. Firstly, to give a bit of perspective on the long-awaited bypass around Ballinahinch, it was first proposed by the Minister of Commerce, Lord Glentoran, in 1959. It was actually meant to go round clock in Dundrum as well. So 1959, that's over a decade before the DUP came into existence, just in case the DUP get blamed for the full 64 years of the delay. Fast track to the recent years, after public inquiry in 2015, Infrastructure Minister Chris Hazard of Sinn Féin announced in December 2016 a decision to proceed with the Ballinahinch bypass and asked officials to make the direction orders. But as we know, the following month, the then Minister's own party collapsed the Assembly for 3 years, and those orders for the Ballinahinch bypass weren't able to be made for those 3 years. When the Assembly was restored, the new Infrastructure Minister, the SDLP's Nicola Mallon, expressed her intention in April 2021 to issue an SL1 direction order to proceed. However, it was over 18 months into her ministerial position before she issued the direction order for the Ballinahinch bypass. Then only a month after the direction order was finally made by Ms Mallon in July 2021, roads officials told this very chamber that no funding has been put forward for the very scheme the same minister ordered.
Nope.
And during Ms Mallon's remaining 10 months as minister, she failed to make any start whatsoever to the procurement process of this scheme. Therefore, it is a bit odd in the motion to be plotting the very minister chiefly responsible for the delays to the Ballinahinch bypass, along with other schemes in Northern Ireland. As we know, her ministerial position became vacant after the May 2022 election, and Sinn Féin's John O'Dowd became the Infrastructure Minister, and he too failed to make any start to the procurement process during his 5 months in office. Not to mention that the minister responsible for making funding available to DFI was Sinn Féin's Finance Minister, Conor Murphy, an office Sinn Féin held since 2016. Therefore, to solely blame the DUP because there hasn't been an infrastructure minister in post for the last 10 months is simply ridiculous. Not only does the delay to the Ballinahinch bypass go back decades, but in recent years since the notice of intention was issued in 2016 and the direction order in 2021, the only parties that have held the infrastructure minister post are the SDLP and Sinn Féin, both of whom gave green lights to this project without putting forward a single penny for construction work to begin. When they had months, if not years, to do so while holding the most senior position within our road service. While we support the frustration expressed in Councillor Andrews' motion towards the pausing of the Ballinahinch bypass, as this chamber well knows by now, we're obviously not going to support motions that contradict our own national position on restoring the executive. And the fact that the proposer knows this, I'm disappointed that he feels the need to include the usual and unnecessary dig at the DUP at the expense of consensus yet again, especially when this motion implies that my party has a level of responsibility over the Ballinahinch bypass as though it somehow outweighs the blame of the SDLP and Sinn Féin. We want to see the Ballinahinch, the much needed Ballinahinch bypass delivered, and the best way of achieving this is by parties working together and challenging the correct government sources about the failures to date. Thank you.
Henry? Glenn? I'll put you out. Councillor Clark?
Thanks, Chair. And Chair, you're delighted I'm not getting involved in the party politics. This issue is too serious of an issue. And one thing about the Ballinahinch bypass campaign is all parties get on together in regards to the campaign. Party politics were never brought into the campaign. So this is new here tonight. I think since I've been a councillor, this is 22 years I've been a councillor, and we continuously campaigned for the bypass for Ballinahinch. Because it's not just the Ballinahinch people in regards to this is a council-wide issue. I'm just thinking of my own area in regards to the Mourns and Newcastle, and the people commute daily to Belfast and further afield, and they commute through Ballinahinch. And it does have major delays in regards to workers getting to the place of work, having to get up earlier, a half an hour earlier to get to the work, miss out on school runs and stuff like that because the parents have to be in work at a certain time. So they're missing that quality of life, you know, that family life, both going to work and coming home from work. But it's also the delay in the Ballinahinch bypass, it's suffocating our economy. Any investors coming into our area will look at for quality road infrastructure. And if we look across the Down area, for example, there's not one inch of dual carriageway throughout our whole council area. And you get different plenaries and different meetings with different councillors. And when they arrive in our council area, they can't believe the state of our roads because they're leaving slightly late to get to the meeting, thinking they're coming on the dual carriageway. But they're snarled up into the likes of the Ballinahinch town centre. And as has been outlined in regards to, the toxins that the residents have to face in Ballinahinch is doing enormous damage to our citizens. So I wasn't going to speak tonight, but I think it's important in regards to that this is a bigger issue than just the Ballinahinch. This is a strategic project for this council. It has been the campaign for the bypass for over, I think it's 50 years in regards to trying to get it. And we are close to delivering and getting it delivered. And obviously the funding needs to be put in place to deliver this project for this council area and for its citizens. So thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Councillor Kelly.
Hi, Chair. Thank you. Apologies. My laptop decided to restart through that debate. I just wanted to comment on how disappointed I am with the behaviour of the DUP from this motion. I mean, this bypass has been something in the works for a long time in Ballinahinch, probably since before I was born. We're talking about a serious issue here in Ballinahinch, and it was only a few minutes ago where Councillor O'Reilly was commenting on the education system when it was also their party who held that ministerial position. Now, I'm not trying to politicise anything. I think the point is that there should have been a minister in place, and this decision should have been made properly and not put on a permanent secretary. And I'm just disappointed that we have to make noises and get on like this whenever this should be a point and for the people of Ballinahinch and the wider council district. So thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Kelly. Councillor Andrews, would you like to sum up?
I'd definitely love to sum up. And first of all, I think it was a very interesting and worthwhile debate, and it was good to hear all shades of opinion having their input into tonight's motion. And as I say, if anybody doesn't in my lifetime, I wouldn't be afraid to say amidst my words. And if anybody wasn't up to the job, I would tell them to a blinking face for it. But apart from that, there it was a very good motion. I thank those who have supported the motion, and I also thank those who have indicated their support, but
of the motion in essence, but they had their own points of view. And in a democracy, I firmly respect that. But I do hope that we can send out a loud and clear message from this council about the Ballinahinch bypass and getting it from the filing cabinets and the drawing board into reality. Because I know other councillors, especially down from Newcastle down around by Restrepo and all, and that's another main thoroughfare that needs upgraded as well. We've got much on offer here, and it's time that, as I said in my speech, that this area should be getting more of the action and more of the funding for much needed improvements and upgrades to our roads. But again, thanks.
Just as we've known that some people have voiced that they will be abstaining, we will now be taking a roll call.
Okay. Councillor Andrews?
Yeah, in favour of the motion. Thank you.
Councillor Boycey?
Abstain.
Councillor Brennan?
Four.
Councillor Byrne?
Four.
Councillor Campbell?
Four.
Councillor Clark?
Four.
Councillor Devlin?
Four.
Councillor Enright?
Four. Note, Chair, the signal dropped out on the online people.
No problem. Councillor Enright, can you just repeat?
Four, but the signal for the online service dropped out there for about 5 minutes.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Finn?
Four.
Councillor Finnegan?
Four.
Councillor Galbraith?
Four.
Councillor Gibbons, it's an apology. Councillor Hanlon?
Four.
Councillor Hannah?
Abstain.
Councillor Hart?
Four.
Councillor Hyle?
Four.
Councillor Jackson?
Abstain.
Councillor Cairns?
Four.
Councillor Kelly?
Four.
Councillor King?
Four.
Councillor Larkin?
Four.
Councillor Lee Surgener?
Four.
Councillor Lewis?
Abstain.
Councillor McGuinness?
Four.
Councillor Mallers?
Four.
Councillor McAteer?
Four.
Councillor McAvoy has left the meeting. Councillor McMurray?
Four. I'm here, sorry, Donna.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm for the... No, you're fine. Thank you for McMurray. The...
Thank you, Ian. Councillor McMurray?
Four.
Councillor O'Hare? It's an apology. Councillor... Sorry, you're not. Sorry, Councillor O'Hare. Councillor Declan Murphy?
Four.
Councillor Kate Murphy?
Four.
Councillor Selena Murphy's an apology. Councillor Quinn? Councillor Riley has left the meeting. Councillor Rice?
Four.
Councillor Ryan?
Four.
Councillor Savage?
Four.
Councillor Sharvin? Left the meeting as well. Councillor Sharpen's left. Councillor Taylor?
Abstain.
Councillor Tinley?
Four.
Councillor Truesdale?
Four.
32, four and five abstentions.
Motion's carried.
Motion's carried. Thank you.
Thank you. Item 14 is the notice of motion on warm pound baths being received from Councillor Ruan. This motion will be referred to ERT. If Councillor Ruan would read his motion and let us know who's seconding it, please.
Thanks, Chair. That this councillor regrets the Warren Fink Baths continues to fall into a state of disrepair and has now become an eyesore on what is one of the most scenic views in Ireland. Welcomes the efforts made by council and local councillors who worked hard to ensure planning permission for the redevelopment of the baths was retained in 2022. Expresses its disappointment that a recent funding application to the British Government's Levelling Up Fund to redevelop the Bath site was unsuccessful, recognises the construction of Narrowwater Bridge is due to commence in early summer 24, and with it will come increased tourism and economic opportunities for the wider Warren Point South Down region. Further agrees that a viable the innovative project like the Bath will complement the much anticipated bridge. This will help to increase tourist numbers to Warren Point and drive the local economy. Agrees that Nuriam Warren Council and Down Council should make the redevelopment of the Bath a flagship council project in the new term, commits to actively seeking alternative funding for the project through avenues such as the Irish Government's Shared Island Fund, and will be seconded by Councillor Kate Murphy.
Thank you, Councillor Ram. Item 15 is a notice of motion on Disabled Users Forum for Councillor Clark. Due to an oversight, this motion has been recorded to be heard here, but it is actually going to be heard at S&E. I have apologised to Councillor Clark for this misunderstanding. If he could just read his motion and let me know who's going to second it, please.
Okay, thanks, Chair. That this council recognises the importance of ensuring that the district's tourist attractions, services and products are fully accessible for all, will establish a disabled users forum to proactively engage with local residents and organisations who experience accessibility issues in the district to hear firsthand how they experience council facilities and local attractions. All council facilities and promotional material will clearly display a list of local changing places and accessible facilities in the district. All council employees will be made aware of changing places, units and accessible features within council facilities. Furthermore, when an event is applied for that includes the use of portable toilet facilities, a mobile changing places unit must be provided also. And Councillor Una Hanlon will second the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Item 16 is a notice of motion on restocking of the Coyle River. It will be heard here. The notice of motion is from Councillor Enright. Councillor Enright, if you'd read your motion and let me know who's seconding it, please.
Thanks, Chair. Hopefully you can hear me, Chair. Chair, can you hear me?
I can, yeah.
Thanks, Chair. Councillor Philip Campbell is seconding this motion. I'll read the motion. Council recognises the importance of coarse fishing at the Coyle River and its positive impact on tourism, local economy, health, well-being and sports. Council recognises the concerns of local angling and conservation groups over the diversity and quantity of fish stock in the Coyle and the decline of native species. Council will request DERA to restock the Coyle, prioritising a population increase for pike, roach, rudd, bream to a sustainable level. Chair, I'll say a few words. In decades past, the fishery at the Coyle estuary was a key attraction in East Down, with international horse fishing contests being held on the river. The river was famous for rudd, pike, perch, eels and bream. Even today on the NI Direct website, the Coyle Basin is the only coarse fishery advertised in County Down. Anglers are still being drawn from Hollywood, Bangor, Belfast and Lisburn based on the belief that the fishery is still functioning at an acceptable level. However, repeated mismanagement over decades has damaged the fishery to the point that restocking is needed to bring the fishery back. Prior to the sewage works being upgraded in Downpatrick, Drumness, Ballinahinch and other settlements on the Coyle catchment area, serious spills by NI water over 15 years turned the river floor at the lower end of the estuary into what the Department of the Environment Rivers website describes as a toxic sludge. In severe weather, this got stirred up, resulting in mass fish kills. I have pictures and videos on my website from the early 2000s of tens of thousands of fish being killed along the Coyle. Thankfully, the days of Crown immunity for NI water have now passed. In recent years, the Coyle barrier was not being repaired properly, and seals entered from Strangford Lock and over a period of years devoured all the large pike, perch, eels and bream and severely diminished the shoals of rudd. It took 9 years of canvassing of DERA by elected representatives to have the barrier fixed in 2021-22. Chair, the fishery on the Coyle was one of the key components on the Coyle River that was envisaged by Old Down Council as part of a river park, a project that seems now to have been shelved. Other items included having NI River and DERA upgrade the barrier on the Coyle in the same manner as the Lagan to restore navigation and create workable fish passes and allow salmon up the river again. Second, to extend the Coyle River Walk from Downpatrick to the Barrier and Delamont Park and Killyleagh, connecting connections to Delamont Park, Killyleagh and Strangford and Castle Ward. And finally, to create boardwalks around the cathedral, linking Inch Abbey and the Grove at the cathedral. But the restocking of the river does not need to wait any long-term plans of the Coyle before restoring the fishery. We already have dozens of council and DIRA-supported fishing platforms along the river. While we understand the department's usual policy is that fisheries should be allowed to recover naturally, too much damage has been done to the Coyle fishery over too many years. We now need a managed restocking of the river over a 3 to 5 year period until it returns to its former glory. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Cadogan. Councillor Campbell.
Thanks, Chair. Just want to say that we're happy to support this motion. We know the importance of the Coyle to local anglers and angling as a community sport in the whole. With it having such a positive impact on health and well-being, the local economy and tourism, it is important that we are working together to ensure that it is a top destination within Downpatrick. Sinn Féin are committed to the responsible and sustainable enhancement of facilities at the Coyle and will continue to work to see concerns of local groups addressed and deliver for local residents and visitors alike. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Lewis.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Yeah, my phone's on. Thank you, Chair, and I would like to thank Councillor Enright for bringing this motion, and I confirm that our group will be in support of the motion to restock the Coyle. We were out and we had very constructive meetings with the representatives there, and we can certainly see the huge tourist potential and the benefit that this would bring, and we're very happy to join with other parties in the chamber to call for this and to fight and to lobby to see that this is that this motion is brought forward and that we can get some kind of constructive outcome from it. Over the past 13 years, the fish in the Coyle has been completely destroyed, and we can understand that this has been done through the pollution, which has resulted in the loss of hundreds, if not thousands of fish. We can understand that it's the department's position that they want to see the Coyle be self-sustained. However, we can't overlook that there was monumental damage done to the seal gate, which was left and wasn't prepared for over 11 years, and this has caused huge environmental damage to the saw or to the Coyle, and the Coyle is the only coarse angling spot in the whole of County Down, and it's absolutely important and necessary that the department now take every possible step to move forward, restock and recognise the huge potential that the Coyle not only has to the Down Patrick area and the South Down area, but can bring in and attract. Attract people who are happy to support that.
Well, you can walk away there because going to salmon for you was my fault. Was it? Mm-hmm.
Mr. McAteer, your microphone's on and we can actually hear the conversation that is ongoing in your house, so could you perhaps mute your microphone?
I'm happy enough about dinner too, Chair.
Are you finished, guys? Councillor Gilbreth.
Thanks, Chair. We're in support of the basis of the motion and very much agree with its sentiments. I was just wondering if it's okay with Councillor Onright. In addition, I would not only like the department to take upon an act on the issues with the fish stock in the coil, but call for a plan for the restocking of the coil, as well as a request for more facilities for the anglers in such a popular spot. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Hanlon?
Sorry,
Councillor Hanlon. Councillor Enright, are you in agreement with Councillor Galbraith?
Well, if we can add on a sentence saying to make an ask DERA to make a 3 to 5 year plan for restocking the coil, would that be sufficient?
As well as asking for the more facilities?
All right. No harm in that. Okay. If we can have additional facilities up towards the barrier.
Yeah, sounds good.
Happy enough, Councillor Gilbreth. Councillor Hanlon.
Just want to welcome the fact that the motion has come, but I would record disappointment because we've been round this before many, many times, and I know there's fishermen sitting in the gallery tonight who have been to several meetings with DERA. I know myself and Chris Hazard met with DERA, NIEA and Council on site, probably, I'm going to imagine, maybe 2 years ago. And it just continually seems to be that no matter what the fishermen are asking for, that it's a stonewall from the department. So I think if, as a council, that we're supporting this, it may lend a wider voice again to the issue that seems to be ongoing all the time. And I think Cadogan had alluded to the fact it's gone on maybe 13 years. You know, there must be some sort of movement can happen. And I don't understand personally why officials keep stonewalling the request of the local fishing community. And I would welcome Councillor Gilbreth's sentiments around improving any facilities. There has been a lot of work done at the coil, in fairness, but there can always be more done. And I think in referring back to Councillor Enright's comments around opening up the walkways and, you know, all that lends itself into making it into a really good tourist brand to encourage people to come into the area. And as Councillor Lewis said, not just for the people that live in the area, which will obviously benefit, but to really attract people into Downpatrick and to use this as an opportunity to really transform the coil. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hanlon. Would you like to sum up, Councillor
Taylor?
Sorry, Councillor Taylor.
Yep, thanks, Chair. Very happy to support the motion. Thank Councillor Enright for submitting it for discussion tonight. There are obvious concerns about the lack of action that has been taken by the department, and it is important that they do take these issues seriously, particularly when it has been ongoing for such a period of time. And if we can obviously lend that support and add weight to the representations that are being made, and if that can help assist, obviously protect, sustain and maximise the full potential of the river, we should do all that we can to do that. So hopefully by taking this forward tonight, that will help in that process. So thanks to Councillor Enright for bringing forward the motion.
Councillor Lewis, you're looking short comment.
Thank you, Chair. It was just to note, and certainly off the back of what Councillor Hanlon says, that this has been an ongoing issue for a long period of time, and that there are a good dedicated group of people that do keep this issue to the fore, and that they have been working tirelessly to see this issue through. And I just wonder, would it be prudent to note to the department that we would require an urgent reply to this, just to ensure that it's not lost somewhere within an inn. Pray that that to outline that this is a really serious situation, and that we would like an urgent and quick
apply to the many concerns which have been heard here tonight.
Thank you. Is everyone in agreement? Could we just ask Councillor Wainwright to sum up, please?
Thanks, Chair. Chair, it's not the first time that councillors across parties have supported sentiments in this motion. I know there was another motion passed about 3 years ago. This is an issue which MPs, MLAs and councillors have sought to represent local people down through the years. It's taken too long and it's really not good enough for Deirdre to come back again and say, no, I think we're going to have to, as a on a cross-party basis, try and get this across the line. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Enright. Item 17 is a notice of motion on the recent blooms of algae, the establishment of an independent environmental protection agency. Notice of motion has been received from Councillor McMurray. Councillor McMurray, if you just read your motion and let us know who's going to second it, please. And it will be heard here at full council.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the motion reads, this council is concerned by the recent blooms of blue-green algae in our waters. Notes the detrimental impact these blooms have had on our local businesses. Ask the Department of Agriculture, Environment and Rural Affairs to swiftly convene a cross-party meeting between the affected council areas to discuss the issue and develop an action plan to address it, and calls for the establishment of an independent environmental protection agency in line with the New Decade, New Approach commitments. And Councillor Truesdale will be seconding the motion. Chair, thank you for hearing this motion this evening. And Chair, I make reference to the algal blooms being recent, but in fact they have been affecting areas in my DEA for a number of years now. I'll come on to how it affects those who use the amenities directly from my DEA in due course, but in reality this motion goes beyond the parochial boundary of Slieve Croob, beyond the district boundaries of Nearing Moran Down, District Council, and it's something that's affecting Northern Ireland and by inference the island as a whole. I've spent my whole career using Lake of Castlemaine both as an instructor of various water-based activities as well as an individual taking part for my own recreation. For many a year, I was not even aware of blue-green algae as a thing, never mind an issue. Then it happened once, and that was a curiosity, given the pea soup consistency of the water, rather than a concern. However, from at least 2019, there have been yearly outbreaks of this algae. Indeed, many providers have contacted me regarding the lake and the implications it has for their operations should an outbreak occur. At best, they have to relocate to alternative sites, which are very often quite a drive away and certainly not as good as Castlewellan Lake. And at worst, they have to turn people away from their business and with that, the associated loss of earnings. Chair, the issue of blue-green algae goes beyond just the restriction of recreation on some of our waters. It can have serious health implications for both humans and animals, as well as being an indicator of the poor and deteriorating state of our waters. At this point, I would like to thank the Council for their work with other agencies in undertaking the testing of the waters. Other councillors who may wish to help inform others of the impacts of blue-green algae and how to record its prevalence can do so, and I'd recommend they do via the Blooming Algae app, which can be found in the Centre for Ecology and Hydrology. Indeed, I would ask that council officers, on learning of an outbreak of an instance of blue-green algae, to share this site via social media presence, even as a cursory look at this site would indicate that the issue is underreported. However, this only observes the problem should it occur, rather than address the issue at hand, which is what the point of this motion is. This matter goes beyond the boundaries of the district and beyond the shores of our island. But then, given the nature of the environmental and climate emergencies we are facing, this is something which is to be expected. As such, this requires a unity of effort in order to address. And that starts by this council sending a clear message that an independent environmental protection agency must be set up as a matter of urgency. In the matter of blue-green algae, there is the stock non-reply, which attributes it to climatic conditions. This doesn't cut the mustard. We need to be ensuring that preventative measures can be introduced, as well as legislative powers to ensure that we can enhance the water quality in our district, rather than stand passively by while witness to its obvious decline. And also it goes beyond the issue of blue-green algae. This summer we have witnessed the closing of some water areas to the public due to pollution. And this is atrocious. I know there are many in this chamber who are prone to the odd dip into the sea and can attest to the positive mental and physical attributes that go with this pursuit. We should all be doing what we can to ensure that we have safe and clean water for our citizens and visitors in which to enjoy their recreation, as well as ensuring it is a habitat fit for the natural world. We have also witnessed the continued decimation of environmental protections and legislation regarding water quality from Westminster, which led to the RSPB questioning the veracity of the current Tory government's claims regarding its commitment to environmental protection. I echo these sentiments and I wish to do all that I can and all that we can to ensure that the message of environmental concern is clearly passed on from this council. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Truesdale.
Motion.
Okay. Councillor Devlin.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thanks to Andy for tabling this motion this evening. I know just in particular the sort of Castlewell reference to it, which is very close. So I just leave Crib, it's very close to where I live. I know Andy has articulated well there the impact on the water-based activities and also the potentially toxic nature of what it is there. And I know my colleague Cara Hunter, MLA in the North Coast, has done a lot of work around support and calling for support for businesses there as well. So I think it's a very sensible approach to look at a sort of across Northern Ireland way of dealing with it. We had in June and July, the whilst they're sort of separate but are linked, and I know that Andy has mentioned them there, the issues at the harbour in Newcastle, which did damage businesses up there. And I suppose the bigger issue is undermining also the tourism product that we have there too. So, Andy, the SDLP is more than happy to support your motion, and thank you for tabling it. Thanks, Chair.
Councillor Howell.
Thank you, Chair. Just want to thank Councillor McMurray for bringing this motion. Again, Sinn Féin are more than happy to support it and agree with the points outlined. I'm not going to go over the issues for them in our own day. They're well rehearsed. Just would like to highlight one point that you made there with regard to the council taking action and putting it out in social media. I think that would be an important action to take on board as well. Again, as Councillor Devlin highlighted, some of our Sinn Féin colleagues, I suppose up the country, have written to the Department of Agriculture, Environment and Rural Affairs and the Environmental Agency about the occurrence of these potentially toxic algae outbreaks, to inquire what they're doing and sort of what these European agencies are, how they're looking into investigating the causes of this. It's acknowledged that obviously the high levels of ammonia, nitrates and phosphates encourage growth of this algae, but it's important to get the potential leak with that and the pollution in our waterways and make sure that it's investigated properly. So we're more than happy to support the motion, Andy. Thanks for bringing it up.
Thank you. Is everyone in agreement? We ask you to sum up, Councillor McMurray.
No, Chair. I think it sums up itself really, just in the sort of the across the board support. And thank you very much to all the councillors that spoke on behalf of it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Item 18 is the notice of motion scheme for medical hair loss. This will be heard here at full council. The notice of motion has been received from Councillor Finnegan. Councillor Finnegan, if you read your motion and let us know who's seconding, please.
Thanks, Chair. This council calls on the Department of Health to investigate the possibility of replicating the PRSI scheme in the south for those suffering from medical hair loss here in the north. While the council does acknowledge the immense financial pressures facing public services, including our health service brought about by a decade of savage Tory austerity, it also recognises the devastating impact that medical hair loss can have on a person's confidence, mental health and overall quality of life, and believes that people living in the north should have access to the same dignity and quality of care that is offered to those in the south, so they can live their lives comfortably and confidently. Therefore, this council will write to the Department of Health to urge them to look into the possibility of introducing this scheme for people in the north, and also calls on the DUP to end their boycott of the Assembly and Executive, which is exacerbating the current pressure on our public services, including our vital health service. And Roisin Howell will be seconded.
Thanks, Chair. If I could just happy to second it and just come in. I'd like to thank Councillor Finnegan for bringing this motion. I suppose just on a personal point, I know of extended family members that suffer from alopecia, which is something that can literally develop overnight and can have a huge impact on people's confidence even going about their daily lives. So only for, I suppose, the support of local, you know, hair loss specialists that get there, they wouldn't be able to get up and go to work and carry out day-to-day activities unfortunately they have to financially support that themselves. So a scheme like this would be most welcome and make it, you know, I mean, available for everyone. So thanks to Councillor Finnegan for bringing this motion.
Okay. Councillor Truesdale.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to thank Councillor Finnegan for bringing this motion. I think it's a brilliant motion, and I speak to it from personal experience. I went through with a friend, a close female friend, who went through cancer treatment, and until this hits you, you don't realise all the logistics in place. I couldn't believe that she was having to fund her own hairpiece. I just couldn't believe the prices that were being quoted. It was absolutely astounding to me. And also, my brother, as Councillor Howell said, lost every hair in his head overnight after a motorbike accident. So he has alopecia. So thank you very much for bringing this motion. Thank you.
Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And I also want to thank Councillor Finnegan for bringing the motion. I think it's a very good one and one that we fully support in the SDLP. I suppose coming from the same DEA as Councillor Finnegan, we see obviously the help and the schemes that you can get in the south, because our parish straddles the border, you know, with one of the churches in our parish of Upper Craigan being in the south. And you see people going through various treatments, whether it's cancer treatment, alopecia, stress-related incidents, like Councillor Truesdale just said there. I have a very, very good friend who lost all the hair on his body in the last couple of months, and the effect that it has on him, and he's looking for some support. There's next to no support unless you meet certain benefit requirements, of which he doesn't. And that's what this scheme in the South is very, very good, because all you have to do is meet the medical requirements, and then it goes on the RP or SNI contributions. The difficulty is that people across our parish, some are getting support and others aren't. And we need to have some unified approach to this. Very, very difficult in the wording of the motion, where you've got an executive down and you've obviously the Department of Health. We're not kidding ourselves that are hit with huge issues in terms of budget, in terms of staffing. And it makes issues like this very, very difficult for us to put forward to a non-executive or to permanent secretaries up there. You had the Minister for Social Protection, Heather Humphreys, making statements down the south on this €500 a year for wigs, about alleviating the stress of people and doing a wee bit to help people that are in need. And that's what we want to do as local councillors. That's what we should be doing. But we can't even get the big issues right in terms of the Department for Health. And it's very frustrating when we get very, very good motions like this from Councillor Finnegan. We're trying to get a response to it, and we probably get a mealy-mouthed response back because people's hands are tied. We need to see some sort of collaboration across this island on support schemes like this. We need to look down to areas in the south of this country and see what does work and what helps reduce the stress on people, and see if we can bring it into action in the north to help those people, those same people as well. So, Aoife, thanks very much for bringing the motion, and the SCLP will be fully supporting it.
Thanks, Sir Hannah.
Thanks, Chair. Aoife, it's an excellent motion. So, unfortunately, I know the effects this can have on people, so I can. I've seen people suffer from the hair loss, and it really is traumatising. So, it's unfortunately, Aoife, while you and the Sinn Féin continue to try to score political points here, I'm actually going to propose that you remove the last paragraph and we can support it then. Something, while you have that in that motion, we will not support it. So I'm proposing, Chair, that that last paragraph be removed and we will support it then.
Have you got a seconder for your proposal, Glenn? Aoife, are you happy to accept?
I don't accept. I don't think I need to give the reasons why, because we have said it time and time again, and the DUP keep coming with this proposal to remove that. The DUP is essentially blocking the executive being up and running, and we need this. So, in short, no. Sorry.
So we'll take it to a roll call. Okay. Councillor Andrews?
Against.
Councillor Bousy?
For.
Councillor Brennan?
Chair, just clarify, is this on the actual proposal or the amendment?
It's being voted on the amendment, just the amendment.
Apologies. Councillor Brennan?
Against.
Councillor Byrne?
Against.
Councillor Campbell?
Against.
Councillor Clark?
Go on.
Councillor Devlin?
Against.
Councillor Enright?
Go on.
Okay. Councillor Finn?
Against.
Councillor Finnegan?
Against.
Councillor Kilbreath?
Against.
Councillor Gibbons is gone. Councillor Hanlon? Councillor Hannah?
For.
Councillor Hart?
Against.
Councillor Hoyle?
Against.
Councillor Jackson?
For.
Councillor Cairns?
Against.
Councillor Kelly?
Against.
Councillor King?
Against.
Councillor Larkin?
Against.
Councillor Lee Surgener?
Against.
Councillor Lewis?
For.
Councillor McGuinness?
Against.
Councillor Mathers?
Against.
Councillor McAteer?
Against.
Councillor McAvoy? That's gone.
Against.
Oh,
against.
Apologies, Councillor McAvoy. Councillor McMurray?
Against.
Councillor O'Hare?
Against.
Councillor Declan Murphy?
Against.
Councillor Kate Murphy?
Against.
Councillor Quinn?
Yes.
Councillor Riley's gone. Councillor Rice?
Against.
Councillor Rowan?
Against.
Councillor Savage?
Against.
Councillor Taylor? Gone. Councillor Tennelly?
Against.
Councillor Truesdale?
Against.
And Councillor Clark, this is for an amendment to the motion.
Against.
Against. 31 against and 4 for the amended motion.
The amended motion has fallen. We now need to take a roll call on the motion as a substantive motion.
Okay, Councillor Andrews?
For.
Councillor Bosie?
Bosie.
Abstain. Councillor Brennan?
For.
Councillor Byrne?
For.
Councillor Campbell?
For.
Councillor Clark? Councillor Devlin?
For.
Councillor Enright? Go on. Councillor Finn?
For.
Councillor Finnegan? Councillor Kilbreath?
For.
Councillor Gibbons is gone. Councillor Hanlon? Councillor Hannah?
Abstain.
Councillor Hart?
For.
Councillor Hoyle? Councillor Jackson?
Abstain.
Councillor Cairns? Councillor Kelly?
For.
Councillor King?
For.
Councillor Larkin?
For.
Councillor Lee Surgener?
For.
Councillor Lewis?
Abstain.
Councillor McGuinness?
For.
Councillor Mathers?
For.
Councillor McAteer?
For.
Councillor McAvoy?
For.
Councillor McMurray?
For.
Councillor O'Hare?
For.
Councillor Declan Murphy?
For.
Councillor Kate Murphy?
For.
Councillor Sinead Murphy's gone. Councillor Quinn?
For.
Councillor Riley's gone. Councillor Rice?
For.
Councillor Rowan?
For.
Councillor Savage?
For.
Councillor Charlton's gone. Councillor Taylor's gone. Councillor Tinley?
For.
And Councillor Truesdale?
For.
31 for and 4 abstentions. Motion's carried. Thank you.
Councillor Finnegan, do you wish to sum up?
Yeah, just very briefly, and just to, I suppose, give a bit of context to it. I brought this motion forward after hearing the work done by a constituent and hair loss specialist, Bridgen King. She helps those with challenging medical hair loss and the inequality that exists between patients north and south. As someone, as Pete has mentioned already, as someone who lives and works in a border community, it further highlights the nonsensical nature of partition, that patients living minutes away from each other cannot access the same quality of healthcare. So it is important that men and women in the north have the same access and dignity and quality of care that is offered to those in the south, so that they can still they can live their lives comfortably and confidently. I just want to thank everybody for letting that go. All right.
Thank you, Councillor Finnegan. Item 19 is the notice of motion on the funding subcommittee. The motion is from Councillor Savage, and it will be heard at the SP&R committee. Councillor Savage, if you'd read your motion and let me know who's seconding it, please.
Okay, Chair. Chair, I'm just a wee bit disappointed, to say the least, that we didn't hear this tonight, because the motion itself asks for a decision to set up a committee tonight and provides the work to the SP&R committee to carry out the work to develop the committee in question. So I'm just a bit confused as to why we couldn't hear it, because we were taking a decision in principle tonight to set up a committee and hand that work to SP&R to complete. But I'll read it. Council recognises the challenges in securing funding for landmark capital and community projects across the district, and agrees to establish a standing subcommittee of council officers and nominated councillors tasked with overseeing the identification of funding streams relevant to council capital and community projects and the timely delivery of funding applications. The subcommittee will meet monthly and report to the Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee, which will agree the terms of reference of the standing subcommittee in October 23 for approval at the November 2023 full council meeting. And it's going to be seconded by Councillor Finn. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Savage. We now have an emergency motion from Councillor Finn.
Yeah. So to enable an emergency notice motion to be heard, it's necessary to suspend Standing Order 16.11, for which a qualified majority vote is required. So that's 80% of the members present and voting. So we will do a roll call if the chair is agreeable. Yep.
Okay, folks. Councillor Andrews?
Four.
Councillor Boisey?
Abstain.
Councillor Brennan?
Four.
Councillor Byrne?
Four.
Councillor Campbell? Councillor Clark?
Four.
Councillor Devlin?
Four.
Councillor Enright? Gone. Councillor Finn?
Four.
Councillor Finnegan?
Four.
Councillor Galbraith?
Four.
Councillor Gittins gone. Councillor Hanlon?
Four.
Councillor Hannah?
Abstain.
Councillor Hart? Councillor Hyle? Councillor Jackson?
Abstain.
Councillor Cairns? Councillor Kelly?
Four.
Councillor King?
Four.
Councillor Larkin?
Four.
Councillor Lee Surgener?
Four.
Councillor Lewis?
Abstain.
Councillor McGinnis?
Four.
Councillor Mallers?
Four.
Councillor McAteer?
Four.
Councillor McAvoy?
Four.
Councillor McMurray?
Four.
Councillor O'Hare?
Four.
Councillor Declan Murphy?
Four.
Councillor Kate Murphy?
Four.
Selina Murphy's gone. Councillor Quinn? Okay. Councillor Riley's gone. Councillor Rice?
Four.
Councillor Rowan?
Four.
Councillor Savage?
Four.
Councillor Sharvin's gone. Councillor Taylor's gone. Councillor Tinley?
4.
And Councillor Truesdale?
4.
34 and 4 abstain. 4 against. Or 4 abstention, sorry. Sorry?
Yeah, so that is 80% is 27 members, and that's 30 members to vote of 4. So it's suspended and off. Standing orders have been suspended. Sorry, just to clarify, actually, standing order 16.11 has been suspended, not all standing orders.
Councillor Finn, we just ask you to read your motion and let us know who's seconding it, please.
Yeah, thank you, and thank you for everybody who voted in support of the suspension. So Newry Morningdown District Council notes with sadness the recent closure of the Imaginarium in Sticky Fingers, which provided a facility for countless families and young people across the district. The Council commits to working with the Department of Communities, the Executive Office and relevant Council officers to protect arts provision across the district, and it's going to be seconded by Councillor Savage.
Thank you. Councillor Finn?
Yeah. I'm really pleased. Thank you so much that this motion is being heard this evening. However, I am really, really concerned about the loss of facilities that are provided by the Imaginarium. I know countless families, young people and parents have found sanctuary there, including my own nieces and nephews who absolutely love visiting. And I've seen firsthand that the facilities have provided a home for theatrical performances, not least Newport Youth's show Orphans last week, which was facilitated there. Newry has a rich and vibrant arts offering, and the loss of the Imaginarium will no doubt be felt by numerous households across the entire district. The wording of this motion is purposely designed to include and cover all of our wonderful arts organisations, many of whom I'm sure all of us have met with and seen in recent times at events such as Yerkin Fla, Eats and Beats and Wake the Giant, all of which I can only say were enhanced and enriched by all of those artists. Along with this, we have countless groups who work to provide performances that build confidence and a sense of pride to all those who are involved. It's incredibly important that as a council we recognise the contribution that all of these organisations make. And I would like to also take this opportunity to welcome the appointment of a new arts officer within the council, who I have no doubt will work with myself and other councillors with the spirit of this motion to ensure that our arts and culture offerings and services are enhanced and decimated no further. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Savage, you're seconding the motion?
Yes, Chair. Happy to second it. And I'd just like to point out the great work that Councillor Finn has been doing with the arts sector since she was elected to council. And this is a matter that's very close to her heart and close to the families who have been using the facilities and the services at this venue for a number of years now. And I've seen it firsthand, the extremely positive impact that this place has had and the services provides on particularly the young people and the children who use it, and I fully support and second the motion.
Thank you. Councillor Cairns.
Thank you, Chair. Sinn Féin welcome the motion, but we don't feel it goes far enough. Sinn Féin propose that the Arts Council meet with Sticky Fingers to outline the reasons why funding application has not been successful, and would like Council to write to the Department of Communities Permanent Secretary and request officials meet with the group to discuss funding options. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Finn, are you happy to accept that?
I think that's fine. Absolutely, Geraldine, yeah.
Thank you. Councillor McMurray.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. No, I'm just happy to support. I'm aware of the good work that that this group does within the sector, and just the troubles that they face and the challenges that they face. So I think anything that can be done to try and ameliorate that certainly should be explored by whatever agencies and whatever means possible that this council can afford. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Everyone in agreement? Councillor Finn, would you like to sum up?
Yeah, just to say thank you so much to everybody for their support, and I hope that we'll all be able to work together across party and across all the officers to make sure that we really make the most of the wonderful arts facilities that we have across the district and particularly within the city. So thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Finn. That's us for tonight. Thank you everyone for attending, both at home and here in person, and safe home.